Hey everyone, welcome to the Sungini Bit podcast. This is Shreya. We have a delicious episode for you today where I'll be joined by Anusta and Sweta as we reflect on our trip back to Nepal in 2021. We'll be walking you through what we felt when we first landed in Nepal, some of the sights we saw, our favorite smells, and of course, what we ate and what we did, and some unexpected adventures we had along the way. Hopefully those of you who are listening right now are either in Nepal, have had the chance to go in the past few years, or are planning to go soon. We hope that you'll find some comfort in this episode. So sit back, chill, grab your cup of dudcha, hariocha, fikacha, whatever cha that you want, and I'll grab Anusta and Sweta.
Hi, I'm Anusta, and I currently live in Seattle, Washington. I went to Nepal on October 29 for Tihar, and it had almost been 2 years since I last went back. My first memory outside of the airport, it wasn't really, I'm cheating here, it wasn't really outside of airport premises, but my memory, like, that got burnt into my head was, like, me having to shuffle our luggages, because, like, I went back home with my husband, but then we were both going in different direction. He was going to his home and I was going back to mine. So having to shuffle the luggage and like put it in different cars, that was an experience that I hadn't anticipated. That's my first memory outside of the airport.
So my name is Sweta. My pronouns are she or they. I'm in Washington, D.C. now. I went to Nepal on October. I was meant to get there October 16th, but the journey there was really rough, as in my flight got delayed. And then after, you know, waiting all night, maybe 6-7 hours, they told us our flight was canceled. Oh. So I was already so scared that I wouldn't even make it to Nepal. And, you know, with the COVID test, like there's you have to have it within 2 days. So if they waited any longer, I would have to redo all of the COVID precautions again. But luckily they rescheduled. So I got there on the 17th on a Sunday. So I was just so glad to even land in Nepal. And then it had been 2 years since I had gone back. So I was already really sad. And I know others, you know, go back even longer or, you know, with a larger gap. But for me, that was really long. And the first thing I did was I had to isolate. So I went straight to one of the rooms in our apartment. I didn't hug my parents. I was so nervous about, you know, so happy to see them, but they almost hugged me. I was like, no. let's wait 4 days. So the first thing I did was, you know, go through my childhood yearbooks. That's how I, you know, any photo albums, any yearbooks, I always go through that just to spend the time. But yeah, I'm so glad I got there. So that's my story.
Oh, that sounds so nice. I know we were all in Nepal for, well, you two were in Nepal for a while. I think I was only there for 2.5 weeks. But how was both your trips? I know Anusta mentioned you went there for Tihar, so I thought you went for family time. I was catching up on your Instagrams. Tell the listeners all about your trip.
Yeah, sure. So I can just mention mine. I actually went for a couple of reasons. One, the primary reason was to connect with my, you know, spend time with my parents. They're in Nepal. They've been there for more than like 9 years now. They've gone back. They've settled back. That's where they are. So the last time I went to Nepal was 2 years ago, and it was for a friend's wedding, and I was only there for 2 weeks. I barely spent time with them. You know how the weddings go, it's like a whole week. And I just specifically remember my dad saying, you know, about next time on the hiryo alikati lamo, you know, plan garera basa hami sanga hamle timlai dekhne pachaina yespali. And that like was so heavy on my heart. I was like, okay, I have to, once I get a stable job, you know, have a stable position, I'm going to make it a point to go back. And it has to be at a time where it's meaningful. So why not Dasain and Tihar? I talked to them and I know like Tihar kind of means more to my dad than to my mom. Like everybody tends to be really busy during Dasain, and Tihar is a little bit more on the celebration that's like rest time. So I try to get there towards the end of the saying, and then at least for the day of like having the tika on, but you know, COVID didn't really allow that to happen. But it was my second time in Nepal during Tihar and Dasain. And yeah, I got to spend time with them for a whole month. The initial trip was actually for 2 weeks. And then my plan was to extend it longer through work, which I did. So I was there for a total of a whole month, which was really nice. I was pretty much working remotely too. So busy hours, and then waking up early still, and then napping throughout the day. So I told this to understand you already, but it felt like I was living two days in one, two completely different days, one devoted for Nepal and then the other living in DC hours at night. So yeah, that was my trip, but the whole goal was to spend time with them and yeah, just be with them. I was just so anxious all the time being away from them.
My main goal is, I had like multiple goals to go back home. Obviously, I wanted to go see my family, but it had been a long time since I had celebrated Tihar. So I just wanted to be back home for Tihar. It had been like 11 years. And then I also my grandma passed away in 2019, right before Tihar. So I also wanted to be back for the rituals for 2 years. And it was going to be a big it was going to be somewhat of a family reunion because my uncle was flying in from Denmark. So that was the purpose of my visit. What else? I was working from home too. I worked for 2 weeks straight, and that was rough. I went back home. I started working right away. In my head, I was like, I'll be jet lagged, so I'll be working remote. And I selected East Coast hours for some unknown reason. I was like, oh, it's going to be better to work East Coast hours. And like West Coast hours are actually really terrible. But what I didn't realize was that perhaps working Hawaii hours would have been even better. Because I found myself like waiting for data to be available at like 4 a.m. and then like I had to do everything after that, so that wasn't helpful. It would have been nice if I went to bed at 7 and woke up at like 2 a.m. But that's my learning for working remotely in Nepal. And then like what else, I met my friends old and new. I met Sweta. And yeah, it's so strange. We met for the first time in Nepal after like knowing each other for 2 years.
Yeah, it didn't feel like we were meeting for the first time. And I met your parents and your sister because you gave me a ride back.
I was like come on, like, jump fast in this car.
This sounds like the ideal first date.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, long distance friendship relationship, and I already met her parents, but it felt right because it's been 2 years since I've met her.
Met my family, like people flew in, as I mentioned previously. My other uncle flew in from New York, so that was nice to meet everyone after a long time. It doesn't feel like it, but I hadn't seen my uncle in New York for like a year and a couple of months because I haven't seen him since I left New York. Then I got to do really basic things that I have not enjoyed in Nepal. Like I hadn't been to Pokhara before. The last time I went there was like 22 years ago, so that doesn't count. Then I went to Nagarkot to see the sunrise. That's like the most simple thing that you can do if you live in Kathmandu. Mm-hmm. And overall, the trip was really enjoyable.
I know it's such a simple thing to do in Nepal, and I didn't get to do it this time around. I really wanted to. I love watching the sunrise. Some context for my trip. I had actually gone to Nepal for the first time in 13 years. So the last time I had been was when I hadn't even gone through the beginning of puberty. And the goals of my Nepal trip were really to maximize my time there. Ultimately, I had gone for my friend's wedding, but I was trying to squeeze in every minute, every hour I could to do other things in Nepal as well. So whether it was going to Chandragiri, going on a girls trip to Pokhara, visiting my relatives, of course, trying out some local food, I really wanted to spend as much time as I could soaking in that culture shock I was experiencing after over a decade of visiting and enjoying my time there because it had been so long.
We were meant to meet. All three of us, we were meant to meet. But I know how things get in Nepal. It gets so busy. So, like, yeah, I'm sad that I didn't get to meet you, Shreya, in person. That was going to be, like, you know, also another goal.
I know, eh? That was one of my goals, too. I was so bummed that I couldn't make it happen because my schedule was stretched beyond being stretched thin, okay? But hopefully we can meet in the U.S. For those of you listening, Sweta, Anusta and I have been working on Sangini Bit together remotely this entire time. We haven't met in person at all, just through our video chat screens. But hopefully, fingers crossed, we can meet together in person soon. I want to transition here, and I'm really curious to learn what things you had noticed had changed in Nepal since you last visited. As I mentioned, I hadn't been back for over a decade, and I noticed a lot of changes. But if you both have been back frequently, I'm curious to learn, you know, what did change since you had last visited.
Okay. For me, I think it wasn't a lot of change. Because, like, it hasn't been long since I was last back. I was surprised getting back because, you know, we had the pandemic, like, because of the pandemic, like, the crowds were less, and I'm also in Seattle, so, you know, my lifestyle has changed so much. Like, there are less people to look at on the road, and when I went back, it was a shock, like, oh my gosh, there's so many people around here. and then, like, the other thing was, like, the inner roads within Seattle, like, they aren't, like, that great. Like, it's kind of comparable to Nepal. So my uncle was driving me back to our home, and we have to, like, go through Baluwatar and around that area. I was looking at the road and I was like, wow, this is so better. This is better than, like, Seattle's roads. that's what I remember, like distinctly. I was like, this is better than Seattle. And my uncle's like, what are you talking about? I was like, you don't know Seattle's potholes. It's rainy there, so I think it keeps getting, like, you know, destroyed. So
such a funny observation.
I'm so glad you brought up the road, because that's the first thing in 2 years I noticed the road construction was complete. There was, for me, less dust and less, less dust around, because my main thing is I'm allergic to dust. So during the time they had all the road construction going on, it was horrible for me to step outside. Even the time I was there for my friend's wedding, well, I was already wearing glasses and a mask. Titibelata, there was no COVID, but I acted like I was in the pandemic. So, you know, so there was no change for me having to wear a mask. Nepal Nandayita, I always have to wear a mask just for my health. So I always joke that if I were to ever date in Nepal, it would be horrible because of my allergies, and I'm not like clear-headed. But that's the main thing, the road construction. And I always try to go back every year, just again for my parents. It's something that we all discussed. Like, I think we've always been outside of Nepal, and even for them, they would meet their family members. So my extended, you know, after a couple of years, and my parents have sort of instilled that more than a year is just too long if you're trying to connect and stay connected. Because most of my family members are still in Nepal. It's my cousins that are now starting to go abroad for studying and, you know, getting jobs outside. So for, you know, the generation above us, they're all pretty much in Nepal, like Kathmandu, Pokhara. So I always do this exercise when I'm back. I always look, like, we're in the car, my parents are driving us back into the house from the airport, and I'm always silent and looking at the road, looking at what's changed, what do I notice, I'm kind of doing this exercise like, oh, do I recognize the store? Is it still there? What's the next road after this? Because I'm also trying to have that memory of how to get from one place to the next. I think it's just something that I noticed everyone living in Nepal, they know how to get around. And for me to feel more Nepali, I was like, I need to know my way around here. And I always notice every year there's always new businesses. There's always new restaurants, new cafes. So that's always going to change. And then this time there's so many like car show places. There's so many cars. That's all I notice. And there's certain areas where there's a lot of showcases. So a lot of cars. And then the other thing I noticed is a lot more hotels. I don't know. It's just kind of like business is always running. And then I'm always so in shock. I'm like, where is the money coming from? Like, how is this running? So I'm always just curious and looking at that. And Nepal always changes. It's like infrastructure wise, there's always something going on. So that was my experience.
Yeah, adding to that, did you like notice a lot of coffee shops?
Yeah, now that you mention it, I remember there were so many coffee places in Nepal. Beyond Himalayan Java, I saw a lot of cafes using the Illy brand of, like barista machines and coffee. And I thought coming in that Nepal was predominantly a chia drinking country. So what do you all think of the whole coffee and commerce movement in Nepal right now?
It's a nice place for people to like meet up and socialize. I think that's a positive aspect because, you know, you could always meet someone at a coffee shop and, you know, spend some good time. And these days, like these restaurants and coffee shop actually has they pay attention to the ambience of the place. And I didn't realize that, that had changed in Nepal. It was just strange for me. Like, I would go into a restaurant and I look at it. I'm like, this is so pretty here.
I certainly feel the same way, Anusha. When I would walk into a coffee shop or a restaurant, each aspect of the environment was certainly built to deliver a nice experience. I know. I think a lot of individuals in Nepal are using social media and TikTok as their primary platform. So the real sell of these restaurants and coffee shops is to sell that experience and photo type of setup and vlogging ambiance.
I'm so glad that you brought up TikTok because that's something that I even talked to my cousins about, and they were telling me that's kind of the pastime. Like, you will go to restaurants, places, and it's, you know, you can put on TikTok, you can film yourself, you can dress up really nice, and it's like an experience. There was this one restaurant in Boda, and I forget the name, but it looks like you're somewhere in Greece.
So that restaurant is called Sundown by Karma, and when we were going to Bokra, my friends and I, this was like a separate trip after the wedding had finished, we were trying to maximize our tourist level at Bokra, because we usually, when we go to Nepal, we go with family, there are so many family events, and we spend most of the time, the duration of the trip, going to people's houses, eating, and then doing the same thing the next day. So when we were in Bokra, we had gone paragliding, and with the I think the company that owned it was, they owned Busy Bee, the huge restaurant club resort in Bokra as well. So I was up in the air with my paragliding instructor about to land right at the Busy Bee landing, and then to my right I see this beautiful random stone blue building. It was literally like a field, Aina. And then the Sewatal was behind me, and then there was multiple houses and a random slab stone building that had beautiful like blue backgrounds, very much like the Santori type of elevated stairs. And I look and I squint my eyes and I'm like, what is that? And the instructor goes, "It's your Sundown by Karma, Gris Dose, blah, blah, blah." I was like, oh my God, Bokra is such a TikTok destination. Because even when we had landed, we were once we were in the car, there'd be these random metal statues saying TikTok with the logo. And I think it's meant as a landmark saying, hey, you tourists, like, come film something here because it's a noteworthy TikTok destination. Yeah. And I noticed that all around Bokra. It was so funny, but very interesting, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's so funny that you noticed that while you're on paragliding and you're, like, enjoying the scene. You're like, what?
Yeah, it so literally smart, looked like a random colored stone from the air. Okay. So odd.
That's so funny.
So I'd plan to go paragliding. I'd not plan to see that. That is, I think it's a restaurant. Yeah, it's a restaurant. But I loved Bokra. I would stay there for a whole month if I could.
And a lot of what we did in Bokra towards the nighttime or what we wanted to eat was unplanned. So definitely want to go there again. I'm really wondering what you both had planned for your trips. I know you were in Nepal for a longer period of time. What was planned and what was unplanned about your trips to Nepal?
Funny enough, like I didn't plan too much at all for this trip because I tend to be the person that wants to do everything when I'm in Nepal with my family, and I tend to overwhelm everyone and they want to take it very slow. So I lowered my expectations this time and I made it a point to talk to them, see what we want to do together. The rest I'll figure out. So I knew in terms of planning, we would at least do one trip. So, and I would have to be the one that plans it out logistically, figures out what days. So Bandipur and Nuwakot were actually very spontaneous. That was later. The first thing we did plan was, I know I wanted to take them at least to a hotel, a resort, somewhere just away from our house, somewhere where we could actually just like relax. We went to Nagarkot for that. And I know this is super like publicized and we might have mixed feelings about it, but I don't know too much. So I'm also learning about which resorts to go. I wanted to be somewhere where you could see, where it's easy to get there. And then you can also just see the mountains, the hills, just kind of be away from the city. And there's a lot of guilt around that, but I was like, you know what? I made money. This is my decision. I'm going to take my parents there. We're going to do it. I'm so glad that I was able to do that for my parents. Like, they usually don't let me pay for things. And, you know, this is my idea. They were on board and that was the goal. So again, it feels like everything was spontaneous, but there was an intention to see more of Nepal in any way. And I really wanted to support local businesses. The resort is like more of a hotel and big business. So I was trying to look for more small run businesses like pottery, archery, anything small run. So yeah, that was my goal. But what about you all? I'm sure you all, I saw all of your Instagram. So all of you went somewhere and I'm like, ooh, this is nice. I'm going to put this on my list.
Like, I had been wanting to go to Bokra like since forever. And I was like, this time I don't have a lot of things to do. Maybe Bokra trip is possible. So ended up going to Bokra. So that was nice. a lot of things we did in Bokra were super unplanned. You know, our plans moved quicker than we moved. So I think our plans like took 3 rounds of Bokra already and surrounding areas. And we were still in Lakeside. So that was that. The unplanned thing was, one, I attended a friend's wedding. I had no idea she was getting married, and I got an invitation like a week before her wedding. I was like, wait, what? She is in Nepal? I had no clue. And she was like, she found out from a mutual friend that I was in Nepal. So she's like, oh, you have to come. I was like, oh, great. Okay. And the other thing that was unplanned was the Nagarkot trip that I took with Abhishek and his Dai Bhaozu. We had been like thinking about going to like either Chandragiri or like somewhere else, like for our families to meet, because I hadn't like seen his parents in a while. So we were like trying to take a family trip, but like because of like COVID and everything, the situation, our plans were like getting canceled. Then I had gone to Dhulikhel with my parents and I saw the mountains and I was like, I love this. I want a closer view. So they were like, you should go to Nagarkot. And then we planned a trip with Abhishek and Daipaozu, and then we had our families come over for lunch the next day. So I don't think it's super overrated, Nagarkot's sunrise. It's still very pretty. So I enjoyed. I didn't regret going to Nagarkot and seeing the sunrise.
But one thing that I had not planned at all, I'll say this pretty briefly, but because I've told this story 8 or 10 times already. So I graduated high school in 2015 in the US, and one of my classmates, who I went to school with in New Hampshire in the US, saw my Instagram story of the wedding and said, "Hey, Shreya, I'm in Nepal too, but I'm in a totally different area. I'm going to go on a trekking trip. It's so cool that you're here." And I said, "Oh my God, I haven't talked to you since 2015. Hope you're doing well. Enjoy your trekking trip. I probably won't see you, but I'm glad you're in my country." My friends and I are walking. The first night we're in Pokhara, to go into the lakeside, downtown area, and I see this tall, gore, blue-eyed dude talking to my friend, asking for directions. And lo and behold, it's that friend from high school on the street. And I kind of just look at him and stare, and I go, "Colin, what are you doing here?" He goes, "Shreya." And we were just like, "What is this? Like, fate in Pokhara is a magical place by the lakeside." And it was also funny because all the friends I was with, they're also from New Hampshire. So while Colin and I were having this moment of shock, he goes, "Oh, where are you guys all from? Are you from Nepal?" And they're like, "No, we're from New Hampshire." And he goes, "What? Why are you guys here at the same time as me?" So later that night, we ended up going to the Bisbee club, restaurant, whatever, with Colin, my friends, and then he had a Nepali friend who translated for him and went on some trekking trips. And that friend ended up being my friend Meghna's professor mama's medical student. And he showed us some pictures of it. But the night didn't stop there because there is a group of five guys. Oh, Swetha just left. I think she'll come back. There was a group of five guys sitting behind us, and one of them looked so familiar. And I kind of look at him and I tap my friend on the shoulder. I say, "Hey, doesn't that look like Erda Antico Banza that came to visit us in New Hampshire that we hung out with like 5, 6 years ago?" And she goes, "Oh my God, yeah, you're probably right." And then I was kind of a little tipsy, like a few drinks in. And his nickname, I hope he doesn't listen to this, but if he does, it's funny, right? His nickname was Alu. Right, and obviously I love Alu. I will never forget a person's name whose nickname is Alu. So I decided to test this out, and across the restaurant I go, "Alu, Alu," and he holds his beer, turns around, stares, and goes, "What the F?" So he comes, we all hang out, and then he brings his three other friends, our four other friends. Those four other friends ended up being my friend Colin, trekker friend Colin's trekker friends, high school kusatige. So
Oh my
it
God.
was truly a moment of, I started to believe, I kept hearing every single day, Nepal is so small, everyone knows each other, you're not going to believe it until it happens to you. And it happened. My friend from high school came to Nepal and Pokhara. We were in the same place, same time. His friend knew my friend's mama, and then all of his high school friends were there, and then one of our mutual family friends was there. It was insane. Truly, truly a day of jadu, okay? Like some w witchcraft was happening.
Wow.
That's amazing, though.
Oh my God. But that must feel so nice, right? Like how all parts of your life kind of collides and then it happens in Nepal. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It was very much a for the books. We also met a random Nepali actor in
Which actor?
Pokhara.
Who is this random person?
Aryan Sigdale, I guess is his name.
Oh,
Yeah. Yeah. So
my
that was
God.
funny.
After hearing both of your experience, I completely forgot to mention the unplanned one. And I really want to mention this because it's the first time I did this, which was really cool. Have you ever gone to any of the theater or the plays that are put on in Kathmandu?
No, I had no idea there were shows.
Yeah, so there's one I, like, my friends told me about. It's called Stop Kiss, and I think it was, like, it's basically about two queer women in New York that end up falling in love. So when I found out there's a play, and then also about, you know, queer women, I was like, okay, I really want to make it there. And I had already lost hope that, like, who's going to go with me? I don't know if anyone's going to be interested. How am I going to get out of the house? Like, that whole mental thing. But then my friend suggested it, and we went to the last viewing. And I forget which theater it was in, but it was in Kathmandu, and it was so awesome. I think just for me to be in Nepal and then go to a play and then watch, like, they were all pretty much Nepali cast members, and it was so beautifully done in the small theater. You go inside, you take your seat. It's very intimate. And then I'm watching this whole play happen. And once we leave out of it, it's just like, I don't know. It was just a surreal experience for me to experience that. And then with my friends in Nepal, and then we went like somewhere else to like eat. We went to Little Tibet in Tamil. So like, it's some of these things that I love experiencing in Nepal itself, like, especially since COVID, I haven't been outside of the house. So it's like, yeah, if you haven't gone to any of the plays in Nepal, and if you do get a chance, like, I recommend it. It was really nice kind of seeing, I don't know, something creative. So in Nepal, I think the main thing I also noticed is there's so much happening, and all the youth are putting out great creative spaces, plays, visual art. There's just so much happening. And I really wish I spent all the time doing that. But I did not meet any of the actors, so that would be awesome. Just like an actor viewing like you had, Shreya. But definitely recommend this one. I think it was, I don't know, it was really awesome just to see. I think I've seen more queer spaces in Nepal too. Like, there's this other woman in Nepal that holds and hosts women-only spaces that are also trans-friendly. And it's pretty organized, and it's only blocked off so cis men can't really come in. So it's actually a nice safe place for you to go and part, like, if you wanted to play pool, if you wanted to drink or play board games and just meet other women, you can do that. So that's something I noticed. And I did go to one, which was, I don't know, I haven't been to a space like that in Nepal yet. So that's happening more. So I just wanted to mention that for whoever's listening, because it was awesome to have that. I didn't know I needed that. But yeah, oh, wow. Those were the things I experienced in Nepal.
That sounds so nice to have one of your first trips out of the house be that experience, and to kind of realize that, hey, like, the space is here for me, but also for others like me and in the community as well. I would have liked to go to that. Some of my friends I was with are queer as well, and if we had allocated more time, I guess we could have made that for one of the nights or for the showings. But next time, if we plan a girls' trip, we'll definitely have to go. Or check it out online if they have anything online too.
Yeah, definitely. Just wanted to say it is out there. It's just like, again, I love social media. Just Instagram has expanded my horizon and realized what's in Nepal by people that are Nepali. Because usually when you go, you think, you find all these cool businesses and they end up being really run by foreigners, which is also great. But then I'm like, it just adds a whole nother level when it's done by another Nepali person, you know? So yeah, thanks social media for that.
It's so nice to reflect with you both about your individual trips and how different each of our trips was too. I know we're getting to the end here, but we talked about our favorite sights in Nepal. What about your favorite smells and tastes in Nepal? Tell me a little bit about what you ate, what you made, what you tried.
My favorite, like, in terms of smell, I've become more spiritual. And so I love when I go to Nepal, like, I make it a point to go to Patan or Bhaktapur, and this time it was Bodha. But there's just something about going into the temple and then smelling the dhoop and everything. It's just mixed with also like the trees. There's just something so grounding in that. So I always associate Nepal to the smell of that. and then a hint of like jia or other food that's cooking in the distance. So that smell is just my favorite. And then in terms of food, oh my God, like just going, this time I try to go have takali food at any takali restaurant just to get like the whole platter. I can't describe it now because I actually missed doing that this time, but I wanted to try something different this, and I went with my cousins to find, they told me about laughing, which I thought about and I don't think I've ever had. So we, in Boulder, we were actually going through Google Map and trying to find a spot. And I think there was a place called the Best Laughing Restaurant. So I was like, okay, let's just go here. And we had laughing, which it had like the crushed YY inside and onions. And it was cold, like jelly-like texture around it. And then there was another, I don't know. I was just trying to taste other types of Nepali food, because usually I'm always associating it to Newari food or Takali, but I wanted to like try everything else. So this time it was about trying other foods, not just like what's commonly found in Kathmandu. But when you go to Boulder, instead of seeing like momos, I would see every center and pictures of laughing and forget the noodles. But I was like, oh, okay, there's so much of Nepal that I'm not exposed to. So that's what I kind of want to do more of.
Cool. Favorite smells and taste. I didn't go to a lot of restaurants in Nepal, so most of my favorite smells are from home. Newari food, especially bangkwa and sanyakuna, that you don't get to eat outside of Nepal. So those were my favorite smell. Then there were a lot of other smells that I couldn't eat because I became a pescatarian.
Newari food is so much meat.
I know, that's the irony. The funny thing is, like, my husband went back and he, like, whenever he came to like our place, my mom would be like trying to feed him like different stuff that he has not tried before. And then simply by trying something new, he just stopped becoming a pescatarian and he started on eating meat. And I was like, great, okay. My mom successfully managed to change this guy.
That is the power of women and their skills.
And food. Yeah.
Yes.
Apart from that, other smell, my mom made random naspatiko wine. So I got to taste that, smell that.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds divine.
She has like bottles and bottles. Like I think this year they had like a bumper stock of naspati. So she just decided to make wine out of it. And it was actually tasty. So that was good. Moonshine, right at home.
Yeah. I was going to say some bathtub liquor.
Yeah. Like, something, yeah, like I don't know how she makes it, but that was good. Then when we were in Pokhara, we hiked up to what's it called? Australian base camp, and we had tongba. That was the first time I had tongba, so that was good.
Yum.
Then we had purchased mata when we were in Fevatal, and we carried it all the way to Australian base camp, and we had like a bonfire, and then we had mata. So that was a good taste to have. And finally, the most random thing, but I don't know why I have the memory of this. It's like I was walking up to go see Peace Pagoda, and like there are a lot of small shops on the way. And as I passed through one of the shops, I could smell this amazing smell of coffee being freshly ground. And I cannot forget that smell. I bought coffee and I forgot. I left it at home. So I cannot smell it anymore.
Someone will enjoy it.
Yeah, my sister.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so nice. A lot of different alcohols, I see.
Yeah. I need to see. Oh yeah, a lot of different beverages for sure. There's like one spot in Pokhara where I had hot chocolate with chili flakes on it, and I didn't think I would really enjoy it, but it was really good. I had not imagined that chili flakes would actually go with hot chocolate.
So although all of us had gone to Nepal around different time periods, and it had been a long time since we last visited, or pretty recent comparatively. It seems like we all had similar but very different experiences, even though we traveled to Pokhara or surrounding areas. It was lovely to hear about the diversity that Nepal has and the differences in our experiences, what we ate, who we met, what we smelled, what we purchased, and the time that we spent with our family was lovely as well. To tie it all back together, Anusta and Sweta, I'd love to hear from you about any reflection points that you had during your trip, what you learned about yourself from this trip, and obviously when you want to go back to Nepal next.
So less than a minute summary for me is going back to Nepal with the intention, with having a clear intention of why I'm going, just made the trip a whole lot better. Usually I feel like I'm going back with no intention. I'm just trying to be, and I'm pulled all directions by what my family wants. So this time it was about, okay, if I want family connection, we're going to have an activity. I'm going to plan for that. There are going to be certain days where I get to roam around freely and explore certain areas in Nepal. There are going to be certain days where, like, my cousin was getting engaged, so we made it a point to go to Pokhara for that. And I went to her engagement, but I also made room for my exploration because I am forever going to be a tourist in my own country. So I was just learning to accept who I am, what my connection is to Nepal, and not judging it, and just inviting anyone that wants to join me in that journey. But then also being there with my family in the space that they feel most comfortable. So I don't know, this whole trip was about accepting who I am and how I wanted to show up in these spaces. So it just made it a whole lot better, deeper, just wholesome, and just everything, literally everything.
One thing that I realized about myself is, like, I've been away for like 11 years. And in this 11 years, like, my intention was to grow as an independent person who's not, like, not tied to whatever my family does or says. I wanted to build that separate identity when I left home, because, like, you have to see me with my family. It's almost like I'm a part of them and I go with them everywhere. And I wanted to break out of that and develop my own identity. But even after 11 years, when I go back home, there are certain things that I cannot change. I'm still the baby. And my husband calls me the pampered child because he looks at me and my lifestyle, like my interactions with my parents, and he just judges me. He's like, "You're so pampered. Like, they take you everywhere. Your dad does everything for you." I'm like, okay, I guess so. I would call that fortunate. I would call that fortunate. I have a person in my life who loves me a lot. But yeah, like, I think, like, that's one thing that I'm trying to change or maybe grow, like being able to, like, be firm with my opinions and decisions in front of my family, no matter, like, how much I'm able to say no, or I'm able to argue with my friends or even my partner, right? That's something that I can't do with my family, and it hasn't changed. So that's something that I need to learn, I guess. That's what I found out about myself.
To everyone listening, if you haven't been back to Nepal in a long time, if you're going soon, if you miss it, I hope some of this, some of our conversation brought back some good memories. You learned something new. And hopefully you get to go back home soon. But thank you, Anusta and Sweta, for joining. It was great to reflect back on all of our Nepal trips. And see you for the next episode. Bye.
Bye.